Wienemann's, the modern chewing gum laxative, presents fun facts and front-page features in the original radio show of its kind. The fascinating game...
Now then, double or nothing.
Music by Brusilov. Announcing Aloys Havrilla. Star of Song, Frank Wallace. Guest contestant, Lily D'Amica. And awarding United States War Stamp for Peterman, the originator of Double or Nothing, Walter Compton.
Greetings, everyone. Tonight, Double or Nothing pays tribute to those silent heroes of the sea, the officers and men of the United States Merchant Marine. Only through their untiring and valiant efforts can the vital lifelines linking the United Nations be maintained. Here to tell us more about this great war service is a distinguished Vice Admiral of the United States Navy. He'll also join a veteran seaman, a vivacious screen personality, and two able newspaper men in our quiz game, with its bounty of United States war stamps and Phenomet awards to winners. So, Lloyd Zavrilla, on with the show and our first contestant.
Okay, Walter, and facing the parade is Miss Marion Pierce, an interior decorator from Greenwich, Connecticut.
How are you, Miss Pierce? Can I hold your bag for you, Miss Pierce?
There's much in that
you
as
hold
I
a song made. Box, that's right. Doesn't shake. I hope we can put some money in there for you. Miss Pierce, here's your first question. Comes from Miss Susie K. Klein of Louisville, Kentucky. You'll get $5. That's an awful nice hat. Sam, did you interior decorate that hat?
No, it's blue.
And Johnny Crickle, Miss Klein's druggist, gets a special award. What is V-mail?
V-mail is microfilm.
Well, that's all right. That's microfilm, all right.
V is for victory.
Oh, yes. Now she's going to quit. I'll give you $5. It's microfilm. I can't argue. I hope you know what to do with it. $5 and more stamps. Now, this is what happens. For the next minute, you ad lib on the subject. Every time you say something really good, that certainly is a nice hat. Why, we'll award some money for you. And that's almost yours, but not quite. So then I ask you one more question. The double or nothing question. Boy. Those feathers. You ready? Let's go.
Right, let's talk about microfilm.
Go ahead.
You can write thousands and thousands of letters on one small roll of microfilm.
$2, not thousands and thousands.
It takes up very little space on our convoys.
That's worth $2. Make it another dollar.
They're all going to get over here.
What's going to get over there?
All our convoys. Nothing's going to stop them. Not even the Japs.
The merchant marines going to get them there. Help, too.
Certainly. Our postmen wear blue.
That's it. Go on. $1, okay.
Pretty soon the women are going to be carrying the mail instead of vice versa.
Wow! Wonderful. Go on.
Postmaster James.
I'll see you after the show.
Postmaster James Farley is a general.
He's not
postmaster.
He's not postmaster. I give you $2, Mr. Farley. He's not a general either. Go on.
I have a beau in Australia who's an Anzac.
$2 for the Anzac. You sent him V-mail. I guess with the talk got you.
Oh,
geez. $19. Now, then. Double or nothing. Miss Pierce, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
V-mail blanks are what two colors? The kind you get at the post offices.
Red and white.
Red, white, and red! Oh, it's all right there! $38 plus $5, that's $43 in United States saving forces. Just me, too. That was just so much fun. Thank you, Miss Pierce.
All right, Walter. Now then, the goods of war must get to our allies and to our own fighting men in every conceivable corner of the globe.
Right you are, Lloyd. To be serious, for this supply line is in itself a major battlefront.
And to man these many merchant ships, America must train thousands of capable and courageous officers. Your next guest, Walter, is going to tell us how this is done. He is the commandant of the Maritime Academy at Fort Scott in New York, Vice Admiral Thomas T. Craven of the United States Navy.
Welcome to Double or Nothing, Admiral Craven. Frank Forrest, Aloys Avrilla, and I would like to talk with you a minute about these training operations. First of all, sir, tell us about the Academy itself.
Well, Mr. Compton, historic old Fort Schuyler was built on Frog's Neck in 1845 to protect New York City from invasion by ships coming into Long Island Sound. Abandoned by the Army some years ago, it was rebuilt at a cost of $4,500,000 and converted into the maritime school now maintained by the state of New York. At present, the federal government actively assists in its administration.
And now, what is its fundamental purpose?
Fort Schuyler educates and trains young men of character for deck and engine officer careers aboard ships of American merchant marines.
Sir, what are the necessary qualifications?
A cadet must be a high school graduate, take a competitive scholastic examination, and successfully pass a Navy physical. He must be over 17 years and 8 months of age and under 23. In order to comply with recently established federal requirements, we have crowded the normal 3-year course into 16 months. After an additional 2 months of preparation for examinations, the successful cadet is then licensed and ranked as a third officer in the Merchant Marine and an officer in the United States Naval Reserve.
And how many new officers will you have ready by next year?
Fort Schuyler alone will graduate several hundred. But our country must have thousands more, and schools for educating them are maintained by Maine, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and California, while the government operates half a dozen other and similar establishments. It needs them all, for the Merchant Marine requires some 30,000 officers and 100,000 seamen to man the 2,300 new vessels that will be completed by the end of 1943.
Well, there must be many young men listening in now, Admiral Craven, that have the qualifications you require. Just how can they apply for admission?
Have them write to the Secretary of the Merchant Marine Academy at Fort Schuyler, New York City, for an application blank.
Admiral Craven, I don't think enough of us realize how important the Merchant Marine is in the war effort. Can you briefly outline its major functions?
The Merchant Marine must now transport our armed forces and the many and various materials needed for this massive job of war. Then, too, that service permits the exchange of materials between the Allies necessary for mutual defense and offense. Today, our supply ships go through 10,000 miles of danger to Australia, 12,000 to Libya, 4,000 miles up into Arctic waters to Russia. Our troops are everywhere. And the all-important Merchant Marine is their only link with home. And last but not least, normally the Merchant Marine is the basic economic lifeline without which our country cannot exist.
Well, sir, just what do you think is the most vital factor leading to our victory and victory for our allies?
Mr. Compton, the successful waging of this war depends as much on the efforts of the Merchant Marine as upon the feats of our armed forces. We must have the men to man these ships, and they must be supplied in almost countless numbers. I am sure that America understands this vital need, and when getting these men, it should and eventually will give them the care and benefits that equal those afforded to others wearing the uniform of the Navy. I also firmly believe that the Merchant Marine will have a very important part in our post-war rehabilitation and in maintaining America's economic freedom, the freedom for which men are dying today.
Now, Admiral, it's time to drop anchor and pipe aboard your first quiz question. That's a strong box there, sir. You just hang on to that. I'm going to put a lot of war-saving stamps in there for you. Did you get the way I handle that sea lingo, then? And I've
admirable.
Never been beyond a robot.
Admirable?
Admirable, did you? This question comes from William Barr. I shan't give his rank nor what company he is in, but it arrived to us via V-mail. And the $5 will be sent back to him.
V-mail?
Yeah, now look, Admiral. Just plain old V-mail. He gets $5, he'll see that he gets it. In the Hawaiian Islands, which island is known as the Big Island?
Hawaii.
Hawaii is right. $5 and more saving stamps goes in that strong box. Okay? Let's go. Talk about Hawaii.
Hawaii is the largest island of the group.
No question. $2. Formula sandwich out. Give me $2 for that.
Its chief crop
is sugar. It raises thousands of tons of sugar.
Ah, $2 of sugar.
What else? On a high plateau about 8,000 feet above the sea is the finest ranch in the world, and on it is the finest herd of Hereford cattle.
$3, I haven't got that. I believe you. Go on.
It has an active volcano, which is world famous.
I know that, Mauna Loa. $2 for me and you.
And it is a very proud American possession.
$3 more, no question. Well?
Well, it's a beautiful island.
$1. How much some other islands in there? And there's another group of islands part of the Hawaiian setup up there, too.
Oh, there are a number. But Hawaii is the biggest.
We got $15. Now then, the double or nothing question, Admiral. On which one of the islands is Pearl Harbor located?
Well, when I went around Diamond Head last, it was on Oahu.
It's still on Oahu. It's all right. Okay. $35 in United States War Savings Bonds for the compliments of Freedom Men.
I'd like to turn this over to the Women's Organization for America's Merchant Marine.
I'll see that it goes there, Admiral Craven. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us. By the way, Alois.
Yes?
Sickness sure was hard on wood in the old days.
Well, Walter, what are you talking about? The superstition that you could keep sickness away by knocking on wood?
Oh, no. In ancient Rome, when a person got sick, the doctor would cut a splitter from the door of the patient's room.
What?
Then he'd grind it into a powder and mix it up with some water and give it to the poor bedridden fellow.
Well, Walter, medical histories are filled with fantastic and superstitious remedies. Bad tasting, too. And even today, many people believe that a laxative, to be effective, must taste mouth-puckeringly grim. And that, Walter, is one superstition that should be done away with forever. For millions of people have discovered that they can take their laxative and like it, too. They rely on Phenamint, the good-tasting chewing gum laxative that has all five modern advantages. So, folks, why don't you go modern, too, the next time a laxative is needed? Here's the easy Phenamint way to get relief. Just chew Phenamint at bedtime. As with all medicines, take it only in accordance with package directions. Get a night of undisturbed rest. Start the next day feeling like a million again.
Thank you, Lloyd Savillo.
Well, Walter, your next contestant is the radio editor of one of New York's liveliest and newest journals, the provocative newspaper PM. Here is Mr. Jerry Franken.
I gotta be nice to him, you know.
I hope.
Boy, am I glad to have you on this program, Jerry Franken. It's a pleasure.
You gonna get even?
Get even. You gotta beat $43 from Miss Pierce and $35 from Admiral Craven.
Leave me at him.
Leave you at him. All right. The question comes from Frank Burns of Long Island, New York, gets $5 for sending it in. I want you to name four songs with the title being the name of a girl.
Margie
one.
Ida.
Two.
Sylvia.
Three.
Do I have to have another one?
Yeah, you've got to have another one.
Rosemary.
Four. You know another one?
Ida. Oh, I said Ida.
Did he say Ida?
I said Ida.
I only asked for four. I'll tell you one. Liza.
I gave you four.
You said four, and I gave you an extra one.
Oh,
because I was so
nervy,
I asked you for four.
Oh.
I have to be nice to radio with that.
Oh,
let's go now. Here we go.
Eddie Cannon's wife's name is Ida.
$2.
My wife's name is Edith.
I got to pay for Edith?
Sure.
All right, $2 more.
I think it's worth five.
You think it's worth five? Yeah. I'll give you $3 more. It's Phenamint money.
I don't know anyone whose wife's name is Rosemary. It's probably going to cost me money.
She was married to a Canadian fella, and that's...
Oh, that's maybe Dennis King. He marries all those Broadway people.
$2 for
Broadway
Dennis King.
Sylvie was written by Holy Speak.
She did?
Yeah, that was the guy's name.
Oh, $2. Okay.
Holy Speak, the Mally Pons. You remember that one?
Who?
That's a very bad pun.
I know. I thought
only Flocky Mally Pons. I said only Speaks to Mally Pons. That's worth $15.
All right.
That's worth more than that.
Say something for $5 more, would you? Get one final.
Oh, five. Yeah. Temptation.
You could say margining along together, but I won't take it since I said it.
I don't want them.
Whoa, that's way five.
No.
No, I can't do that one again.
Whoa. $14.50. Now then. Double or nothing. Name three songs with a boy's name in the title.
When Johnny Comes Marching Home.
That's one.
Is Jersey a man's name?
No, Jersey's not a man's name.
Can I call it Jersey Bounce?
No, I won't take Jersey Bounce. When Johnny Comes Marching Home. Nobody's going to give you any pretty flowers.
Danny Deaver?
Danny Deaver, yeah.
No, Danny,
I'll take
something.
It. Danny, me boy.
What makes Sammy Rudder the name of the song?
Yes. It's the name of a book.
No, it's the name of a song. I heard Bob Chester play it last night.
I give in. You win. If you heard it, I can't argue. $29 plus $5, $34 United States War, 30 cents with a... Are you sure you heard him play or something? Okay.
He must be right. Walter, time now for your weekly double-double team. It pairs a veteran of a merchant marine with a maritime expert. The seaman is James Adolphus Acton, bosun's mate, second class, who was adrift 32 days in a lifeboat. And his partner is the military and maritime editor of the New York Journal American and other Hearst newspapers, Mr. Dave Centner.
Gentlemen, your song boxes. Mr. Centner, since you are military and maritime, say, we are really suffused with editors. Since you're a maritime editor, you must... What do you think of the Merchant Marine?
I think it's pretty swell, and something that the public ought to know is that the Navy crew doesn't get the same bonuses as the Merchant Marine men does, and lately, most of the Merchant Marine boys have been splitting their bonuses with the Navy gun crews, and that's news.
That's news, and I think it's a very worthy thing, too, for you to have said it, so the people will know. You two are our double doubles. See, in other words, you work together. Don't mind, Fenton. I mean, you'll be all right, see. This question comes from Mrs. Ann Wilson of Utica, New York. She gets $5 for sending it in. With what country do you associate each of the following three dances? I ask this because Fenton looks like a jitterbug to me, see. The following three dances: jig, tango, and polka.
Well, I'd try the jig with Ireland.
Ireland? Tango?
Tango, Spain.
Spain and polka?
It's all around town, but perhaps Poland is the...
Poland's all right. $5 and more saving stamps, I'll put it in the seaman's box. Let's go. You're off.
Well, over in Ireland, they're doing a little jigging there in the AEF.
Yeah, that's $2. It reminds me, I put 5 days in the jig myself one time.
I understand it costs $2 a day, so I'll give you $10.
Well, after he and his buddies finish the job, maybe they'll be dancing on Broadway.
That's worth $3 more.
Well, I'll tell you. The whole setup is, if you have our way, which we will, we'll have these jets doing a jig on the tightrope.
All right, $2 for the jets on the tightrope. But what happened to the tango and the polka and the jig? What I want to know.
Well, I think...
I'm paying for Dale on a question about dancing.
I think Lily Demeter could do them all. Pretty good dance.
Well, all right, I'll give you $2 for Miss Demeter. Now, let's go on now.
I like Demeter.
Woo! Boy! $2 more.
Well, that's probably because maybe he learns to dance for the sea legs.
Well, how does the polka go?
Oh, there's always a polka and a polka when there's a job in back of it.
Well... You couldn't be messing around polka dots now, could you?
You'd mention who?
I said he couldn't be saying nothing about polka dots.
No, I don't know. I don't know that.
Whoa. I was expecting Three Kings to show up any minute, but it didn't.
$22. Now then, the double or nothing question. Which one of these does not belong in the following group insofar as their occupation is concerned? Danilova, Nijinsky, Zugashvili.
The who?
Danilova, Nijinsky, Zugashvili. Come on, boy. Let's have it.
Well, the first two don't sound as if they're anything but dancing, so I'll...
You better get... Yeah, the last one is
out. The last one is out? That's right. Okay.
Well, do you mind giving it to the Gob?
Give it to the Gob. $44 plus $5, $49. United States War Service.
Okay, fella.
I want to point out one thing. Zagashvili really is named now Joseph Stalin. That's his former name. Now to the spotlight comes our singing star, Frank Foss.
Oh, thanks, Walter. Tonight I would like to dedicate my song to the officers and men of our gallant merchant marine. I know that when I sing for them, I'll be expressing the thoughts of all Americans.
No argument there, Frank. All of us owe these men of the sea a debt we can never repay.
Well, Walter, there is one way we can help them. For these men to do their jobs, they must have strong and secure ships, thousands of them. To build them, our great shipyards must have iron and steel. But time is short. The need is urgent. And much of this valuable material can be accumulated in the National Salvage and Scrap Campaign now in progress. So throw your scrap into the fight.
Listen now as Frank Forrest sings a song that symbolizes America's destiny on the seven seas, unconquered so long as our Navy and Merchant Marine guard and guide our course. Columbia, the gem of the ocean.
Oh, Columbia, the gem of the ocean, the home of the brave and the free, the shrine of each patriot's devotion, the world offers homage to thee. Thy mandates make heroes assemble, when liberty's born and new, thy banners make tyranny tremble, when torn by the red, white, and blue. When born by the red, white, and blue. When born by the red, white, and blue. Thy banners make tyranny tremble, when torn by the red, white, and blue. The star-spangled banner bring hither all Columbia's two sons, let it wave. May the wreath they have won never wither, nor its stars cease to shine on the brave. May the fervent united men's ever, but hold to their colors for true, the army and navy forever.
Now,
greetings for the red, white, and blue. Greetings for the red, white, and blue. The army and navy forever. Greetings for the red, white, and blue.
Five advantages in Phenamint.
One, taste.
Enjoy taking Phenamint. It tastes fresh, cool, and minty, just like chewing gum.
Two, convenience.
No fussing with bottles or spoons. Nothing to spill when you carry it with you. You can take Phenamint anywhere.
Three,
chewing gum form.
The very act of chewing makes the medicine more effective, so that usually just one little tablet brings welcome relief.
Four, dependably gentle.
Millions who rely on Phenamint find its action just right. Chew Phenamint at bedtime, sleep undisturbed. Start the next day feeling like a million again.
Five, economical.
A family supply of Phenamint costs only 10 cents. Even more economical in larger sizes.
Five big advantages in Phenamint. Why be satisfied with a laxative that has but one or two of the things you want?
Be modern. Get Phenamint. The laxative which has...
not one, not two, not three, not four, but all five advantages.
Now, Walter, again we turn to Hollywood for our guest star.
Oh, you'll never hear me complaining about setting our course in that direction, Aloys.
Well, just because we've saluted the Merchant Marine, you don't have to go nautical on me. But if you insist, here's a vivacious screen personality that really is ship-shape. Lovely Lily D'Amita.
I see you have a hat too, Miss D'Amita.
Yes, sir.
Very nice to have you. That's your strong box. And here's your question. It comes from Henry Law of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He gets $5 for sending it in. That's about right for the microphone. What one location has suffered more Axis bombing raids than any other in this war?
Oh, let me see. Could it be the island of Malta?
Yeah, it could be. Right on. $5 more than 10.
Thank you.
These hats, and I don't know. Let's go. Malta is yours now.
All right. It is a British possession.
Sure.
It is a big fort.
The whole business is a fort. $2 more.
Right. You have to pass Malta to go to Egypt.
$2.
It was once an Italian possession.
Sicily. I'll split it. $1.
Let me see now. Yeah. Convoys got to them.
They sent it $3 for the British convoys.
It is the United Nations very important Navy base.
$3.
Let me see.
Whoa, 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 whoa. $13 now, then. Double or nothing. And it has nothing to do with Malta.
Uh-huh.
Who were the two members of the Baruch Rubber Committee other than Bernard M. Baruch? And in all the papers.
Let's see.
Well, I'm easy. Look at me.
You? Oh!
No, I'm not it.
You're not? By any chance, he's got a name like yours.
Yeah.
Is he Compton?
Yeah, he's Compton. What's the other one? Quickly.
James. Let me see. James Connaughton.
I'll take it. Conan, it's all right.
$26
plus $5 at $31 United States war savings. And thank you very much, Lily D'Amita. Now, next week, friends, we will salute another United Nations ally, the good neighbor nation of Latin America, Cuba. Our guest star will be Una Merkel. Now then, this is Walter Compton speaking from New York, saying goodbye to you.
The whistle blows, it's time for work. The wheels of industry turn. But if your own particular dynamo gets off to a slow start, goes by sputters and spurts, because you are suffering from acid indigestion, get your motor in high, quick. Just reach into your pocket or purse, take out a tablet of Chews and chew. Yes, just chew Chews. For Chews, C-H-O-O-Z, is the new chewing gum preparation that brings extra fast relief from acid indigestion. Contains three quick-acting medicines, but tastes as good as your favorite chewing gum. Chews is not a laxative, contains no soda or sedative, is not habit-forming. Don't let acid indigestion slow your creative motor down. Prepare now for handy, quick relief the next time you are bothered with excess stomach acidity. Get Chews tonight, only 10 cents. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.